Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset with your host, Brian Keane.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. We talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. Today's episode is a Q&A, so I pooled questions from my Instagram, my Facebook, and my Snapchat for this week's show. So if you're not following me on there, definitely head over to my Snapchat, BrianK019, and my Facebook and Instagram is both Brian Keane Fitness. So first question, hey Brian, what's the best thing to eat after fasted cardio from Keane O'Farrell? So the number one thing with, I assume if you're doing fasted cardio that you're cutting or you're trying to lose body fat, would normally be the best reason for people doing fasted cardio. And anyone that doesn't know, fasted cardio is effectively where you just fast and do your cardio first thing in the morning before you've eaten. So again, depending on the training program you're following, nutrition plan you're following, all of that's going to be key. So what I would advise first is that you have everything in alignment with your specific goals. So if it's losing body fat or dropping weight or whatever it is your goals are, that your entire nutritional plan is built around that. The truth is, it's important to get your meal timings right, and it's important to put a couple of hacks in place that I'll talk about now that can help you speed up your body's ability to use fat as a fuel source, particularly during fasted cardio. But it's the overall context of your nutrition that's going to be the absolute key component of your body's ability to actually use fat as a fuel source and you to move forward and progress. So what I would advise is, assuming you have everything worked out with your nutrition, that you have your calories calculated, that you're eating a calorie deficit or you're eating a maintenance and getting a training, getting a deficit from your training, and that you're following a training program that is in alignment with losing body fat, there are a couple of hacks you can do for your fasted cardio and meal hacks after, that's going to optimize your body's ability to use fat as a fuel source and elevate your metabolism for the rest of the day. So personally, on fasted cardio, the science will tell you that largely science changes. It regularly changes. That's why, you know, as I've mentioned in podcasts before, we once thought the world was flat until science proved otherwise. So science regularly changes, but right now it's saying that it doesn't matter when you do your cardio. As long as you get it done, it'll have the same effect on fat loss. That being said, I've always found when I've done fasted cardio that I got a faster return in terms of my body reducing my level of body fat. So I do like fasted cardio as a go-to. I don't know as a correlation or causation in terms of, I find if I train first thing in the morning, I have more energy later on in the day for my weight training, and that is a better workout, which could be leading to an increase in fiber tears, which could be leading to an increase in metabolism. Or am I actually burning more body fat because my body is glucose or glycogen depleted and I'm using fat as a fuel source first thing in the morning? So in terms of, should everybody do fasted cardio in terms of losing body fat? Not necessarily. I've had people get in, particularly on my top 50 program, that have never done any fasted cardio and got tremendous results. Other people will add it in because it fits into their lifestyle and schedule. So it depends on each person. In terms of what to eat afterwards, the first thing I would get right is what you have beforehand. Because when you train, do fasted cardio, people normally just jump into the gym, will sip on their water and then have their meal afterwards. I personally think you're missing a bit of a trick there if fat loss is your primary goal. So assuming you're doing low intensity steady state cardio and you're doing LISS as your fasted form of cardio, I would add in a branched chain amino acid drink while you're training. So what this is going to do is it's going to preserve the muscle that you have, which is going to keep your metabolism elevated, which means you'll burn more calories as the day goes on. And it also means that your body has an energy source to take from, so your output might be a little bit higher because you can use that leucine and you can use those branched chain amino acids as an actual energy source. If you're doing high intensity interval training then, and you're doing sprint training first thing in the morning, I would hack that even further and add in some form of medium chain triglyceride into your coffee or into your caffeine or into your whey protein or vegan protein or whatever version of protein you're using, because MCT oil is going to allow your body and your brain to release some ketones. So you're going to have an energy source that you can use instantly, which means your output will be higher, which means you'll burn more calories because you're training harder. High intensity interval training HIIT by its nature needs to be high intensity, and doing this fasted, unless you've loaded your glycogen levels the night before, it's very unlikely you're going to have a very, very high intensity session unless you load up on caffeine and stimulants beforehand. So my advice would be to hack that with some form of MCT oil, medium chain triglyceride. It's a medium chain fatty acid, and it's going to give your body an energy source, which means your output will be higher. And then I would sip on your branched chain amino acids during. I have people in my online program, my top 50 program, that train first thing in the morning. Some will do cardio, some will do their full workout, and they can't train on a full stomach. So that's the hack that I put in. It's the one I use myself. And it works really, really well because it means your training output doesn't diminish, which means that you have an actual better training session, which can tear more fibers, which can elevate metabolism, which can speed up your body's ability to use fat as a fuel source, but through elevation of metabolism. So there are a couple of systems that I would put in place first, because your meal afterwards then is going to set you up for the rest of the day. So assuming you've got your pre-training strategy in place, afterwards then, I personally prefer some form of complex carbohydrate and an amino acid. So I'll use oats and a whey protein, or sweet potato and turkey, depending on the time of day. You know, it really, really varies. And that's kind of personal preference for me. There are people that will come through and will just have a high fat and a high protein post-workout. I tend to prefer to use the window because of your insulin sensitivity post-workout, which basically means that you can absorb carbohydrates very, very efficiently, and you'll use them to refuel glycogen stores, and they're very, very unlikely to get transported back to the liver and converted into fat. So I tend to try and use that window to have carbohydrates, but it depends on the overall context of your nutritional plan. I've had people come through my top 50 program and they've had fats in that meal. They've had carbs in that meal. They've had only protein in that meal. Some people will have a smoothie, others protein pancakes. It really, really varies on the overall context of your nutrition. The one advice I would say is don't miss that window, because what happens after workouts, and sometimes when people train fasted, is they try and go long periods without eating, and then you get a blood sugar drop, which means that you'll normally overeat in the next meal at lunchtime, or you'll find that you're reaching for something sugary or something carby because your blood glucose and your blood sugar levels are so low. Again, if you're following some form of intermittent fasting or you're in a keto diet, there's obviously cases where that's not going to be applicable. But for the majority of people that I find, not missing that window and getting that meal in is crucial. And then just making sure you have something that's going to stabilize blood sugars that leads you on into your next meal at lunchtime or whenever you have that next meal. So I would personally always opt for a complex carbohydrate and a good quality protein source. But as I said, some people will work better off fats at that time. I just tend to use the window where your body is more insulin sensitive. So that would be kind of my hack for fasted cardio. Again, the context is going to be different. If you're doing low intensity steady state, you may not need that many carbohydrates in the next meal. If you're doing a high intensity interval training and you've really gone balls to the wall on it, you may need a good quality carbohydrate to get your glycogen levels repaired or get yourself back on track in terms of keep balancing out your blood sugar levels. So that would be my advice on that. Hey everyone, this is Brian from the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. I just want to take a quick 90 seconds to thank you all for downloading the podcast and tell you about my 6-week top 50 online program. It still blows my mind to see the thousands of downloads every week, so thank you all so much. What if I told you could lose body fat, build muscle, or tone up all without putting your life on hold? One of the things that irks me in fitness is people saying that you need to train for an hour and a half every day or do loads of cardio to get in good shape, or silly things like you need to avoid putting milk in your coffee or completely eliminate alcohol or else you're going to get fat. The truth is you can get into incredible shape by eating certain foods, timing your meals properly, and following a training program that is in exact alignment with your specific goals. And you can do this without putting your life on hold. The right program should fit into your lifestyle and schedule and not the other way around. Whether you're a guy or a girl, think about how good it would feel losing body fat and building muscle or toning up, all because you have the right systems in place. You didn't have to starve yourself, you didn't have to spend hours and hours in the gym, or even try and piece together different workouts and nutritional plans together yourself in the hope that they worked. With my top 50 program, you'll have a full blueprint on how to best time your meals, what foods to eat, all your macro calculations, and different recipes to help keep you on track. My philosophy on nutrition is to help you find the strategies, foods, and systems that work best for your lifestyle and goal, so your diet just becomes the way you eat and not a diet you're following. Also, have you ever found yourself thinking, am I doing this exercise right? Or is this the best way to lose fat, tone up, or build muscle? I remember that feeling too well. Imagine the peace of mind knowing exactly how to do every exercise at home or in the gym, and knowing that your training program is in exact alignment with your specific goals, and seeing your body composition change as a result. Everyone has different nutritional preferences, lifestyles, and schedules, and my Top 50 program is the only program where I work with each person through the Top 50 Facebook group. Here I do weekly Q&As with everyone in the program, and this is where we can tweak and adapt training and nutrition to make the program perfect for you. Not only that, but you'll also have one of my online coaches working with you Monday to Friday to make sure that there's no stone left unturned in getting you into amazing shape. Every program is capped to 50 people, so once the group hits 50 people, it closes until the next round. So for more information or to sign up for the next 6-week Top 50 online program, head over to my website, www.briankeenfitness.com, or email me on brian@briankeenfitness.com. And thanks again for listening. Next question from Patrick Caffrey. I haven't got problems sleeping, but I feel tired when I wake up. Would you recommend using taurine and magnesium or GABA and 5-HTP? So I'm going to approach this one a little bit differently. Anyone that has listened to the sleep episodes of the podcast, I think it's episode 42 and possibly 51. 42 was one of my most downloaded episodes. I know people got so much value from that. So if you're somebody that has an issue with sleep, definitely check out those episodes. But in terms of if you find you're waking up groggy, I'm actually going to approach this from a slightly different angle. I do love taurine and magnesium, particularly because of their effect to wind down your central nervous system. So if you're in an anxious state or in a state of just where you're wound up, they can help you wind down before bed. GABA has a very, very similar effect in the body. 5-HTP then is a precursor for serotonin, and serotonin is like one of your happy hormones. So having that release of serotonin before bed can wind you down and help you sleep and get into a deeper sleep. I also like things like ZMA, which is zinc, magnesium, and vitamin B6. It doesn't have a great effect at helping you wind down and get to sleep, but it can keep you in a deeper sleep. So I do enjoy those supplements, and I kind of cycle them in and out depending on my schedule, if I need them, if I find that I've missed my bedtime or my morning, my nighttime routine, and I'm getting that second spike of cortisol, which can happen if you stay up too late past your normal circadian rhythm. You'll get that second spike of cortisol. So what happens with people, and I was a victim of this for years, but you can actually utilize it once you know it's a thing. And I've spoken about this in my book in the sleep section, that if you go past a certain point at night, you will get a cortisol driven second wind. So anyone that knows about lying awake at nighttime, from when you normally go to bed at say 10:30, and then you go whatever evening at 12 o'clock or 12:30, you cannot wind down because your body has released a second spurt of cortisol, which is keeping you awake. Again, you can use this. I use this when I had some deadlines, particularly when I was in college, and when I was working full time as a teacher, I did utilize this. My advice would be just make sure you don't have to get up early the next morning, because it is a very, very productive second wind of cortisol. But I speak more about that in the section in the book. So definitely check that out when it comes out. But my advice here would be to play around with your REM cycles as opposed to playing around with your supplements. So what I have found, and through my own study of sleep as someone that struggled for years with sleep, there's a great book by, I think it's Nick Littlehales, called Sleep. He is a high performance sleep coach for some of the top Premier League clubs, some of the top cyclists at the Olympics. And he spoke a lot about utilizing your REM cycles and using your sleep around that so that you don't wake up groggy in the morning. So what happens when we fall into a REM cycle is they normally go in 90-minute spurts. So we go into one cycle, it's 90 minutes, we come out, we go into another one, and that continues on. So what I found has worked very, very effectively for me is hacking the system so that I wake up after either 6 hours, 7.5 hours, or 9 hours in the 90-minute intervals, so that I'm not midway through one of my REM cycles, which is effectively what means you wake up very, very groggy and it takes you a lot to get going in the morning. So I personally go to bed every night at about 10 o'clock. I know that it takes me about 30 minutes to unwind and actually fall asleep. Some people put their head to the pillow and they fall directly asleep. But what I do is I set my alarm for 8 hours from when I put my head down, because I know it's going to take me 30 minutes to wind down and fall asleep. And then I have 7.5 hours in a REM sleep, and I normally get up at 6 a.m. and I'm coming out of a REM cycle into the next one, so that I wake up way more functional and way more with it than if I was midway through another cycle. So my advice would be to play around with your different REM cycles. Go to bed and whatever it is, however long it takes you to fall asleep, it's normally pretty similar every night for most people, particularly if you have a nighttime routine, which I talk about in those episodes. So check those out if you're unsure of nighttime routines. But I would advise trying to find out that your ways to wake up at the end of one of your REM cycles. So after 6 hours, after 7.5 hours, or after 9 hours, so you're not midway through a REM cycle. That had a tremendous effect on me. I'm not a natural morning person as is, but I found that that has really, really helped me get going in the morning and allows me to wake up and get my started with my day without having to load myself up with coffee or caffeine just to get my central nervous system firing. So hopefully that helps you loads. Next question from Jack George. How do you shrink bulky legs or muscular legs? Okay, so I did a video on this that was quite popular with how to get smaller legs for a female. Because what I found, and again, I spoke about this in the video, it should be on YouTube, but it's on my Facebook page, about using things like higher volume pyramids and using running as the main cardio source with my women and bringing down the size in their legs using this system. There's no science to back this up. This was application with clients that I found it was a problem that a lot of girls had. I would make sure that their estrogen levels are balanced out. So pulling out any processed ingredients that would cause estrogen to be too high, adding in supplements like DIM if needed, and making sure that that was in balance. In terms of a guy getting legs down similarly or bulky legs, this will apply to actually both genders. I have found that reducing the amount of hypertrophy that I'm doing and doing a lot more functional movements will help bring down the size in your legs. So personally, over the last 6 months or so, since I went back playing GAA and back playing sport, I actually tried to bring down some of the muscle in my body because it wasn't serving me directly on the sports fields. I spent 2 years competing in bodybuilding with one plane of motion movements where I was just trying to build muscle and you're working purely for aesthetics and not for function. I was doing legs 2 or 3 times a week because it was one of my genetically weakest body parts. So I was training it more and more from different angles. But what happened was it started to become one of my strongest body parts. And there was a lot more muscle there. So over the last 6 months, I've been trying to actually actively bring that size down because that amount of muscle that I built in that way doesn't serve you as an athlete. Muscle built the right way in strength and conditioning parameters and metabolic conditioning parameters is going to serve you and make you faster and make you stronger and make you better as a performer if you're an athlete. But if you build it in one plane of motion, as in bodybuilding parameters and in that systems of hypertrophy, that's not going to directly cross over to an athlete. So that's the reason that I try to scale it back. That being said, people will build their legs with the right conditioning style program and people that come through my GAA lean body program will build up their legs and actually get faster because they'll be releasing hip flexors, getting glutes to fire better. So they'll actually have bigger, more aesthetic legs and actually fire and take off quicker. But in terms of what happened to me was I built mine through bodybuilding. I built it through hypertrophy. So I had to scale it back to bring down the size of my legs. So how I did this was I started to scale back the amount of hypertrophy I was doing. So now my leg days, anyone that follows my Snapchat, you'll see my leg days are largely based around a small bit of hypertrophy at the start, some strength and conditioning in the middle, and some metabolic conditioning at the end that's working for different ranges of motion, working for different explosive levels, and working in different planes of motion. So I'm not just going up and down as in a squat. And I found that this has helped actually harden my legs and shape them better, but it's brought down the size slightly, which is what I set out to achieve. So my advice would be if you're doing a lot of hypertrophy work, scale back on that. If you're an athlete, start building in more glute work, start building in more planes of motion, and then make sure that you're not eating too many calories or eating too much that's going to bulk up any body part that you have. And if you're somebody that's just training for body composition, I've had people come through my top 50 program with a similar issues, guys and girls. I've found that either trialing high pyramids and using running as your main source of cardio or scaling back that you're doing very, very, very little on legs full stop, only what you're hitting them in giant sets and circuits also tends to work well at bringing back the bulk in someone's legs. Normally what happens when your legs build up too muscly or too bulky is you're just working for too much hypertrophy. You're tearing too many fibers in that muscle group in the parameters that's going to build more muscle. So what you want to do is you want to reverse that and actually do the opposite to somebody that's looking to build muscle in their legs. Okay, question from Pat Donahue. Does HIIT cardio affect maintaining muscle mass? I actually prefer high intensity interval training as my cardio source for people trying to hold muscle mass. Again, it's context dependent and making sure you're eating enough calories and getting enough amino acids to support muscle fibers being torn and then repairing back is going to be the key to maintaining muscle mass. But I personally prefer high intensity interval training HIIT as my form for people that are looking to maintain their muscle mass or build muscle. The reason for this is it's fast, it's effective, and it can burn through glycogen level stores very, very effectively. But once you're topping those levels back up and you're getting enough amino acids and enough calories, it shouldn't have a negative effect on your body's ability to maintain muscle mass. What can happen sometimes at low intensity steady state is you end up using too much of your fat stores, because when you're at 70% or above of your max heart rate, you end up burning through body fat. And if your body fat's already low, you can start to eat into muscle there. The same thing can happen with high intensity interval training. It's just that it's on a shorter duration, so you can control it a little bit better. But the main thing for anybody that's trying to maintain muscle mass and continuing doing cardio in their program, again, it's going to be program dependent. I've had people come through my top 50, the building muscle version, and I've had some people do cardio all the way through. Some people have done none. Some people have got their heart rate up through training. It depends on each person's metabolism and what works best for them. But my advice would be to make sure that you manipulate your nutrition so that you're eating enough calories, you're eating enough amino acids, you're getting enough carbohydrates and replenishing glycogen levels if that's the program and nutrition plan you're following, and you're doing all the things nutritionally and supplement wise, your branched chain amino acids to help preserve the muscle that you have, creatine to pull water underneath the cells. You're using all the things with nutrition and supplements that are going to maintain muscle, and then playing with your cardio systems around it. You'll find that some people don't need to do any cardio when they're trying to bulk up or maintain muscle mass. Other people will do 5 or 10 minutes. I personally like some form of Tabata, either 1 round or 2 rounds, which is 4 minutes. Tabata is 20 minute sprint, 10 second recovery, 8 times, so a 4 minute total. Doing 1 or 2 rounds of that, it's very, very fast, very, very effective. And then loading back up with carbohydrates and glycogen after, so that your muscle glycogen levels are restored and refueled back up. But that comes down to nutrition, you know. So it's going to be a case of finding what works best for you, figuring out whether you should do high intensity interval training, low intensity steady state, whether you shouldn't do cardio at all, whether you should increase your or decrease your rest or increase your intensity in your actual weight training to elevate your heart rate that way so that you're getting all the health benefits from it. And then manipulating your nutrition around that is going to be crucial. Okay, so massive thank you to everybody for downloading. I hope you guys got loads of value in this episode. If you want more information on me, head over to my website, www.briankeenfitness.com. For any information on my top 50 program or my GA Lean Body program that I mentioned in the episodes, head over there. You'll get all the information on there. My Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram's all Brian Keen Fitness. And my Snapchat, BrianK019, where I put up my workouts, my food, my supplements, books I'm reading, opening it up for Q&As. That's definitely my most active platform at the minute. So definitely check out my Snapchat, BrianK019. Thanks to Cullum over at Voxonic, who edits and puts together all my episodes. Thanks everyone for downloading. Catch you soon.